Good morning. It is a sad morning, but nevertheless a good morning. And I can see from the tears on your cheeks that the memory of the righteous is blessed. I've been asked by the church I pastor in Great Falls to extend their regards to you. They remember Joe preaching to them a couple of years ago, both in a worship service of the church and also in the rescue mission downtown. His memory to them is blessed. And I am blessed to be here on this occasion. It's a bittersweet moment. But I do pray the Lord might be pleased to meet with us this day. I invite your attention to the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book in the Holy Scriptures, the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 14. My text is found in verse number 13. My text reads, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." My message is titled, "Dead but Blessed." It's a rather contradictory thought, some may say. Dead but blessed. That's what the text says. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Let me speak about one of them for just a moment. My first recollection of Joe Terrell goes back to the year 1984, 40 years ago exactly this year. He at that time was pastoring a church in Owensboro, Kentucky. I had just finished 5 years, the first 5 years of my ministry in the West Indies, and was visiting in the U.S. And Joe asked me to preach to the church there in Owensboro. As I recall, first time I ever met him. We were all young back then, 40 years ago. Joe and Bonnie had but the one child, Ben, a wee lad at the time. But thus began my knowledge of Joe Terrell. And every moment we ever had together since that time was blessed. We were separated by years and miles. Rarely did we get to see each other. But every time I was with him was a blessed time. I never had a moment with him that was not blessed. I was blessed by his preaching. He was an extraordinary preacher. I was blessed by his preaching, blessed by the hymns he wrote. We sang one a moment ago. One of his hymns is in the bulletin of the church I pastor in Great Falls this morning. A hymn he wrote, "Is It Nothing to You, All You Who Pass By?" He was an exceptional writer, able to explain doctrines so easily, so readily. And if you have not recently read his article on tears, Do not despise tears. Find it before the day is over and read it again. That article is also in the bulletin of the church I pastor in Great Falls this morning. He was a blessing to all, not just to me. Especially was he a blessing to you, and you know more about what kind of a blessing he was than I would know. He was here with you for, lo, those many years. He was a blessing to his beloved Bonnie, a blessing to his children, his grandchildren. He was a man who lived above reproach and was a blessing to all who knew him. Now, he will no longer be a blessing like he was in the past. He will never again stand behind this pulpit and declare the gospel and expound the scriptures the way that he did before. He will never write another hymn. He'll never write another article. But he, who was a blessing, is now blessed. Beyond compare, infinitely, eternally blessed. How do we know? The text says so. Blessed are they who die in the Lord from now on. Well, there's death in this text. Blessed are the dead. You cannot have the blessing that is here mentioned apart from dying, and you must die to receive it. Death, what is death? I can give you seven things regarding death. It is the consequence of sin. The soul who sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. Therefore, we all must reap those wages. It is the separation of our soul from our body. When the spirit returns to God who gave it, and the body returns to the dust whence it came. It is the common end of all mortals. You're not going to escape it, neither will I. We're going to follow Joe. It is the terminator of our earthly existence. Never again will there be our existence on earth after death. It is the enemy that conquers all and is conquered by none. You cannot beat it. You're going to succumb to it. It is the separator of friends and loved ones. It is the thing most dreaded by most people. Death usually comes in one of three ways: a tragic event, a debilitating disease, or a painful infirmity. We may call it natural causes, but nevertheless, there's usually pain with it and sorrow with it, and oftentimes tragedy. Now, as you can see from the above, there is nothing pleasant and sweet about death. Everything about death is bitter. However, you cannot die apart from this truth. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. That is it's a glorious beatitude. What does that word blessed mean? It means happy. Happy are they who die in the Lord and from now on. I want us to look this morning at four aspects of this truth. Let us consider the recipients of this blessedness. Second, the commencement of this blessedness. Third, the description of their blessedness. And fourth, the confirmation of their blessedness. Who are the recipients? They are the dead who die in the Lord. Now, they are in the Lord in many ways. We're going to look at a few of them. They die in their faith in the Lord. they are in that faith which is in Christ Jesus. What is it to have faith in Jesus Christ? It means that you have absolutely none in yourself. It means that every hope that you have of salvation and of any benefit from God is found in Jesus Christ. We exercise that faith. When the Lord saves us, we live through that faith upon this earth. And none but they who die in that faith, forsaking everything that they are and trusting only in Jesus Christ, they're blessed. They died in the faith of their Lord. They died in the love of the Lord. They obeyed that exhortation to keep yourself in the love of God. There's something you have to do regarding this. Keep yourself in the love of God. God will keep on loving you, but you've got to keep on loving him. Keep yourself in the love of God. They die in the righteousness of the Lord. They are in Christ Jesus, who became for us righteousness from God. The express wording of Scripture, in Christ Jesus, who is to us righteousness from God. They confess, surely in Jehovah I have righteousness. Isaiah 45, verse 24, he's our only righteousness. They confess that he is Jehovah, our righteousness. And they confess that I have no righteousness except Christ. Now, if you die in that kind of righteousness, you're blessed. You will be blessed. They die in the holiness of the Lord. They die separated from the world and sin and consecrated unto God. That's what holiness is. It is a separation and a consecration and a dedication. None but they who are devoted to Jesus Christ and forsake sin and follow him can die and be blessed in the Lord. They die in the service to the Lord. Jesus said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for my kingdom. Now, we're not very familiar with that kind of a plow nowadays. In Jesus' day, they all understood, and you probably would too, you're farming folks. But you know good and well that when you're going to plow that furrow, you start at one end of the field, and you have an object at the other end of the field, a stake or a tree or whatever is there before you, and you have put that plow in a straight line toward the object at the end of the field. As long as you keep your plow in that straight line toward the object at the end of the field, you're doing okay. Just don't look back to see how well you've done, because when you do, your plow has changed directions. And Jesus says, if you do it, you're not fit for my kingdom. Once you put your hand to the Christian plow in faith in Jesus Christ, never look back to the world. Never do it. They die in their service to the Lord. They die in their communion with the Lord, seeking those things which are above, where Jesus is at the right hand of God. We begin our Christian life in communion with Christ. We awaken every morning, I hope we do, in communion with Christ. We end our day in communion with Christ. And if you do, one day you'll be blessed in Christ. They die in their obedience to the Lord. Listen to what he says. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. There is no place for a quitter in God's kingdom. And I think that all of you will agree with me, and you knew Job better than I do. Here's a man who, once he started out, never looked back. Here is a man who was faithful to the very end, trusted in Jesus Christ to the very end. Well, of such a man as that, you will read the scriptures say, blessed are they who die in the Lord. Now, second point, when does it commence? From now on. From now on, from the moment of death. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from the very moment of their death. It was just said a moment ago that Joe is now without sin. What a blessed thought is that. From now on, no more sin. No more unholiness. No more sinful nature. No more of this. From the moment of death, there is nothing but bliss and blessedness and happiness. The description of their blessedness is the third point. Well, it is not here given. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Well, what is this blessing? In the first verse of Revelation chapter 14, you will find Jesus Christ being described as standing with the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. 144,000, now that is a symbolical number, and you can arrive at it by taking the figurative numbers of 3, the number of God, and 4, the number of the earth, multiply them, get 12, a number of completion, multiply it by 12 again, and 1,000, that represents the reign of Christ in this revelation of Jesus Christ. The 144,000 would be comprised of every believer on this earth in every age, both Old and New Testaments. The 144,000, now if you'll go to the 7th chapter of the revelation of Jesus Christ, you'll find them described as a multitude that no man could number. And there we find that they are pictured as victorious, white robes, palm branches of victory in their hands. And then we find that their blessings are described. I want you to consider the blessings of those who die in the Lord from Revelation chapter 7. First of all, they are before the throne of God. They are before the throne of God. They no longer need an intercessor. That is sweet. In heaven, no longer do we need an intercessor. We're right there before God's throne. We are in communion with Him. He speaks with us and we speak with Him. Second, they serve God day and night in His temple. Every day is, as it were, the Lord's day. And every moment is, as it were, a worship service. And their hymns are forever sung. And their praises are ever given. And I would say to you that if you find a worship service on this earth to be boring, then you do not want to go to heaven, because that's what we're going to be doing the whole time we're there. Singing praise, a new song to the Lamb, worshiping Him, rejoicing in Christ. Do you not enjoy it for an hour or so every Lord's Day? Well, every day in glory is a Lord's Day. And everything we do is in service to Him. They serve God day and night in His temple. Third, we read that He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. God will dwell among us. He will be with us as He was with Adam and Eve in their unfallen state in the Garden of Eden, when He would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day. God's going to be with us. We're going to live with Him. Not only live in His house, we're going to live in His presence. Fourth, they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. Think about it, folks. No grocery stores in heaven. No place to buy food because you do not need it. No place to buy water because you do not need it. They neither hunger nor thirst anymore. Fifth, the sun shall not strike them nor any heat. No more persecution from the world. No more fiery darts fired from Satan. No longer having to wear the Christian armor. No longer having to fight the good fight. It's over. It's over. In heaven, no persecution. Sixth, the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne. When John describes the scene in heaven, he describes a throne. It's God's throne. He describes the 24 elders on thrones encircling the throne of God in glory. And on the day of the ascension of Jesus Christ, he describes Christ coming into heaven in all his glory. And he describes the Father saying to the Son, come, sit on my right hand. Jesus Christ is there in heaven on God's throne. The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. God's Lamb, Jesus Christ. I'm not really sure what heaven's going to be like. I've never been there. There are some descriptions of it given. But even with these descriptions, we must make conjectures, I reckon, concerning what it's going to be like. But I want you to notice this. The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. Now, if I understand something of what is here said, it is as though Jesus comes down and says, Joe, come, let's go for a walk. I need to show you something. Okay. And off the Lamb takes the inhabitants of heaven. Look, fountains of waters. I'm going to give you a guided tour. Fountains of living waters. There's the tree of life. There's the golden street. Notice the Lamb will lead them. He who leads us in this present life will continue leading us in heaven's glory. But he'll be leading us in a different place, leading us in a different manner. He here leads us in paths of righteousness, because there are other kinds of paths. In heaven, he leads us to fountains of living waters. Fountains of living waters. Jesus will lead his flock in heaven just like he leads them on earth. Except that there'll be no need for the rod and the staff to comfort us. There'll be no more valley of the shadow of death in which our enemies are lurking. He leads us in a way that shows the happiness and the bliss of heaven's glory forever. Number seven, God will wipe all tears from their eyes. God will wipe all tears from their eyes. I suppose most of us will die with tears in our eyes. I do not doubt that Joe died with tears in his eyes. He died with tears in his eyes and fell asleep on earth with tears in his eyes. Awoke in heaven with tears in his eyes. And God says, Joe, we cannot have that here. Tears will blur your vision. And God himself shall wipe the tears. Have you thought about that? God does not send an angel over to wipe the tears. No. God himself will wipe the tears. Now, what did tears do? They blur our vision. You cannot see well when your eye is filled with tears. When God wipes the tears from your eyes, when you awaken in glory, what's the first thing you're going to see? Him who wiped the tears from your eyes. It's the first thing you'll see. He wipes the tears from your eyes. Your vision now is no longer blurred. You can see clearly. Lord, is that you? Yes, Lord, that is you. I'll never weep again. I will never weep again. How blessed is that? No more weeping in heaven. No more debilitation. No more sickness. No more sorrow. No more pain. Nothing that causes a tear will be found in that place. Once God has wiped the tears from your eyes, when you reach heaven's glory, it is joy and rejoicing, thenceforth, forever, eternally. God himself will wipe our tears from our eyes. How blessed is that? God himself will wipe the tears from our eyes. Well, that is something of what it is to be blessed in heaven's glory. Imagine it if, well, it's beyond our imagination. Whatever you have imagined heaven to be, and I'm speaking to children of God and not to those who look for some kind of carnal pleasure in that place, but we who have some expectation of what it's going to be like to be in the presence of Jesus Christ forevermore, never knowing sin again, never knowing any unholiness again, I cannot fathom it on this earth, but in heaven that's the way it is. Whatever you can imagine heaven to be like now will pale in comparison to what it is in reality when you awaken there. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on without pause, without ceasing. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Well, let's look at something else, the fourth point, the last point of my message, the confirmation of their blessedness. It's confirmed here in our text back in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Yes, says the Spirit. The voice from heaven says, blessed are they who die in the Lord from now on. And the Holy Spirit says, amen. Yes. And two things are said of them. First, they rest from their labors. they rest from their labors. Now you can believe what this Holy Spirit says because he is the Spirit of truth. And whatever he says is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. It is possible for someone to tell you the truth without telling you the whole truth because it just means he did not tell you a lie. What he said was true, but he didn't say it all. This is not true of the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth in which there is no lie, and he completely tells the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And here he has said, they rest from their labors. They rest from their labors. What is this rest? God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then we read on the seventh day he rested. Why did he rest? Well, it was not because he was tired. He was not. He is not. The omnipotent was not tired, and he was not exhausted. He rested in complacency in the enjoyment of his creation. He rested in the fact that it's good. Look, it's good. God created the heavens and the earth, and he never had to reboot, start all over, fix mistakes. It was all perfect. Our rest in heaven is going to be somewhat of a rest of perfection. It will be a perfect rest. They rest from their labors. Our labors are completely over. There's never a work day in heaven. It is rest, sweet rest, enjoyable rest, eternal rest, forever rest. Second, their works follow them. Now that's an interesting expression. They will do no works in heaven, but the works they did on earth do follow them. Now I want you to notice that word follow. The text does not say that their works precede them, as though God should know from the works he had done what kind of a mansion he deserves. There are some folks who believe that. It's not true, of course, but, you know, you're going to get a mansion in glory, or you're going to get a crown in glory compared to the works you did on earth. Your works are going to go before you in heaven. Make sure that your mansion is just suited for you and your crown is big enough. No, no, no. The text does not say their works precede them, as though to help to prepare a place for them. Nor does it say that their works accompanied them to heaven. It is not as though some would say we reach the pearly gate. Yes, who are you? I've come to enter heaven. Show me your credentials. Here are my works. Here are my works. Look at this. I did this, did that, and did the other. No, the text does not say their works accompany them to heaven. It says their works follow them to heaven. Follow them to heaven. What does that mean? It means that God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, Hebrews 6, verse 10. God does not forget what his children have done here on this earth, and they are amply rewarded for what they do. And what is their reward? Is it because of their own merit? No. Their works follow them. What is this reward? It's of grace. What is this reward? It's Christ. It's Christ. The only reward we look for in heaven is Christ himself. A crown of life, and he is the life. We have peace in heaven, and he is the peace. And our works follow us to heaven's glory, not to prove that we're worthy, but only to show that God is not forgetful. God is not forgetful. God does not forget what we have done on this earth in the name of his Son. God is mindful of all those things, and he's not so unjust as to forget. It is blessed to die in the Lord. However, I must not close this message without speaking of those who die outside the Lord. I hope there is none here today. I hope there is none here today that is outside of Christ. Because I must be honest and say to you that you will not be blessed when you die. The blessedness that comes in death is only for those who die in the Lord, who have put their faith and hope and trust in him, their service in him, made him the object and the goal of all that they do. There is a place that is prepared for those who die outside the Lord, and it is not a place of blessing. It is a place of curse. The scripture says, Jesus himself said, they go to hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Oh, the torment never stops. The worm never dies. What is this worm that never dies? It is the worm of your conscience. If you die outside of Christ, it will gnaw on you for all the rest of eternity if you die outside the Lord. I pray there is none here today that will die outside the Lord and to know the misery with never a blessing again. And I would hope that before you walk out those doors at the end of this worship service today, you would ascertain that you're in the Lord. You're in Christ through faith in him, trusting in him. And I would assure you from God's word that if you are in Christ, when you die, regardless of the way in which you die, regardless of the place in which you die, regardless of the hour in which you die, it matters not. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. If you have never trusted Christ, do so now. Do so now. And then it will be said of you, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Oh God, our Father, we thank you that the memory of the righteous is blessed. We thank you for those who have been a blessing to us in this life. We pray now that they would be blessed with you for all eternity. We pray that you be mindful of our sorrowful hearts. We pray that you will comfort those who mourn. We pray that your blessings be upon Joe's beloved Bonnie and the children and the grandchildren and this church here. And we pray that we, like Joe, may know the blessedness and the bliss of being blessed upon dying in Christ. To your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.